ask our marshal to call the next case for court consideration.
Case numbers A231421 and A231422. Nicole Albertson on behalf of minor children versus Bruce Albertson and Cynthia Albert.
Good morning again. Thank you for appearing on the Court of Appeals Zoom calendar today, April 9th. The last matter to be presented is forthcoming, and I want to remind each of you that you have 15 minutes for presentation of your case. 5 minutes is reserved for rebuttal if appellant counsel chooses to utilize it. Please introduce yourself and indicate whom you are speaking on behalf of before beginning your remarks. If you're not speaking, I'm going to ask that you go ahead and mute your microphones. And with that said, appellant counsel, when you're ready, you may proceed.
Good morning. Good morning, court counsel. I am attorney Anthony Bussa. I represent the co-appellants, Bruce Albertson and Cynthia Albertson, in this appeal as to the harassment restraining order that was issued against them at the consolidated harassment restraining order hearing, Your Honor. What this case is about is about whether the facts that were presented at the harassment restraining order suffice a statutory definition of harassment as to Nicole Albertson, but more specifically as to the minor children, Archer and Charles Albertson. When the court reviews the file, which would include the transcript of the evidentiary hearing that occurred on August 31st of 2023, before the Honorable Judge Amy Dahl of Wilkin County, there was a variety of testimony taken, both from Bruce and Cynthia Albertson, and then Ms. Nicole Albertson. What the court is looking at, and what the court should be looking at when it analyzes the evidence, is whether the evidence presented at that hearing suffices the statutory definition of harassment pursuant to Minnesota Statute 609.748, subdivision one. And we submit that the evidence did not.
You argue about the repeated incidents, but what about the single incident of physical assault? I find that lacking in your briefing, or maybe my eyes were getting dim. Point me to it if you can.
Sure. We did not cite to the single incident of physical or sexual assault related to this specific case with respect to Ms. Nicole Albertson. Obviously, in bringing this appeal before this court, there was a contestation on who assaulted who. It is our position, based upon the weighing of the testimony, that in fact, my client, Cynthia Albertson, was actually the one that was physically assaulted, not Nicole Albertson. Obviously, when this
Mr. Bussa, yes, that's not what the district court found. And we don't retry the case at the Court of Appeals, obviously. We accept the district court's credibility determinations, and the district court did not agree with the version of the facts that you argue in your brief. What are we to do with that?
Sure. And I agree that this court's appellate foundation is whether that those findings were an abuse of discretion.
I don't know that anybody's argued that any of the court's findings did not have support in the record.
There's three individuals that are part of this harassment restraining order. There's obviously Nicole Albertson and then the two minor children. What the predominant argument that we make in the appeal is that there may be sufficient findings as to Nicole Albertson as for what the court found. But the reality is, based upon the totality of the evidence presented, there's absolutely no findings, that there's no evidence to support a harassment restraining order against the two minor children that were present, against their grandparents that were simply there to help the situation. If you look at the court's findings specifically in what it states, and obviously their findings are not laborious, they're not fleshed out, they're merely statements as to what they found. Specifically, as for Bruce Albertson, the court found, based upon that, that Mr. Albertson put his arms around petitioner and restrained her in the presence of at least one child, grabbed petitioner's phone from her, then frightened petitioner with threatening behavior, assisted with the attempt to take petitioner's children from her care. That's what that states. And essentially, it states the same thing with Ms. Cynthia Albertson. But the reality with these conclusory statements as made by the court, and you're specifically focusing on Archer and Charles, in this case, deals with whether there's sufficient evidence under the harassment statute, which is what we argue, that whether there's obviously a single incident of physical or sexual assault to the children, a single incident of stalking or harassment under Minnesota Statute 609-749 Subdivision 2, Clause 8, a single incident of non-consensual dissemination of private or sexual images under Minnesota Statute 617.261, or repeated instances of intrusive or unwanted acts, words, or gestures that have a substantial adverse effect or are intended to have a substantial adverse effect on the safety, security, or privacy of another, regardless of the relationship between the actor and the intended target. That's the meat and potatoes of this argument as to the grandchildren. We would submit that based upon the court's findings as to Nicole Albertson, there is not much necessarily to argue with her findings of facts as to her weighing of it. But as to the grandchildren with the grandparents involved in this situation, there is no finding, there is no substantial or even any findings that there were any of these acts done to the children. Yes, there may have been some grabbing and a pushing of an adult while the kids were present, trying to figure out who's going to take care of these kids upon the arrest of Mr. and Mrs. Albertson's, Bruce and Cynthia Albertson's son, and the unexpected arrest and not knowing who was going to be present at the residence to take care of these kids and not having any knowledge of anyone there until they get there that can take care of these kids, as Miss Nicole Albertson was not supposed to be present. So there was a lot of testimony done at the hearing. The children were not called to testify or anything of that nature. And there was absolutely no evidence presented of any sort of substantial adverse impact. And substantial means something monumental, something bigger than just an assumption, whether they went to counseling, whether they were physically harmed, whether there was some sort of activity taken after the fact to manifest the substantial adverse impact, some evidence. All we have are conclusory statements without any actual facts behind it to support those the repeated unwanted acts that would manifest this harassment to the children with their grandparents. They were simply there to be grandparents, not to harm the children. I understand what the court found with this mutual issue between Miss Nicole Albertson and Bruce and Cynthia Albertson dealing with the situation, but you have to bifurcate it. You have to deal with her, and then you got to deal with the children within the totality of this situation. We believe, based upon the evidence that was presented at that hearing, and based upon the conclusory findings of the district court, they did not state what were the repeated intrusive acts, what was substantial, how did this impact them, what was going on with them, because it didn't happen. And that was presented at the hearing. I feel as if that the court found that there was a warrant of an HRO or harassment restraining order between Ms. Nicole Albertson, Mr. Bruce Albertson, and Ms. Cynthia Albertson, and then simply lumped the children in because they were present. You can't do that and without specific findings of harassment against these children, which there was no evidence to support it. And in fact, if you read the orders from the court with the conclusory one statement conclusions in the order for after harassment hearing, nothing's mentioned of the children other than clicking a box. That's it. There's no fact supporting the record that the children were adversely impacted or there's any repeated incidents of harassment towards the children to warrant the order. A box was simply checked. That's it. There was nothing related to the children. And that's why this appeal was taken, because the record does not support any harassment done to the children. They were not physically harmed. They're not sexually harmed. And there were no repeated instances of any sort of conduct that had any substantial adverse effect or intended to have any substantial adverse effect on their safety, security, or privacy. Not at all. So that's the issue in this case, is it really boils down to those facts presented as to the children and whether harassment was done to the children. And there are no facts of that, whether in the transcript or most specifically in the court's conclusory orders, that don't really flesh out any facts other than sort of conclusory based statements. And that's
so I'm clear from your argument today, then, Mr. Busta, are you then now acknowledging that there is sufficient evidence in the record to support the issuance of the harassment and restraining order against the grandparents?
I'm acknowledging that based upon the record in this court's review, that there is the issuance of harassment, that there is evidence on the record of to support a harassment restraining order against the grandparents to Ms. Nicole Albertson, as to what was presented at the hearing, if that's what the judge determined. But as to the children, that's the issue. That's the meat and potatoes, and that's what we very much and vehemently believe, that there are no facts to support any sort of restraining order against the grandchildren because harassment was not done to them. There was no findings done to them as stated in the judge's orders after this hearing.
What about the grandfather? Do you agree the same, that there's sufficient evidence in the record to support the harassment restraining order against him?
I do believe, again, as to the grandfather, Bruce Albertson, as simply to Nicole Albertson, if that's what the judge found, that there would be sufficient evidence for a harassment restraining order between Nicole Albertson and Mr. Bruce Albertson, as to the judge's determination of the credibility of facts presented at that contested evidentiary hearing based upon the boxes that she checked and the statement after the box. But as again, to the grandchildren, that is the main meat and potatoes, Your Honor.
Well, thank you for that clarification as to your challenge.
And unless there's any more questions, and I know I have 4 minutes left, I mean, to me, this is pretty simple. This hearing wasn't very long. The evidence was presented at the hearing, and there was absolutely no findings as to harassment against the grandchildren on behalf of either Bruce Albertson or Cynthia Albertson within any of the transcripts, but most specifically within the court's order. The court simply went on to page, the second page of the order after the hearing, and specifically just checked the box, shall not harass petitioner or petitioner's minor children. That was it. And you shall have no direct contact with the petitioner's minor children. Yet the children, which again, my client's son has 50-50 custodial rights there too. And obviously any sort of custodial and visitation issues pursuant to any sort of a divorce proceeding will be dealt with in that arena. But to foreclose their ability to be a grandparent and have contact with their grandkids based upon this record that was fleshed out at the contested evidentiary hearing, and in accordance with the findings, there were no findings of any sort of an assault or any of those things that would require or permit a harassment restraining under the specific statute as cited. And there were no findings taken on the record as to that. And that's why we believe the harassment restraining order as to the grandchildren on behalf of Mr. Bruce Albertson and Ms. Cynthia Albertson, and specifically as to Archer Albertson and Charles Albertson, should be reversed as to both of them. Obviously, we acknowledge the facts on the record and what this court, the standard of review this court makes on harassment restraining order findings. And we acknowledge that the record does support a harassment restraining order between Bruce and Cynthia Albertson against Ms. Nicole Albertson, but that is it, Your Honor. The grandchildren should be removed from this order, and that decision there too should be rescinded. Thank you.
Thank you. Turn to respondent counsel.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Jessica Fonts, and I'm an attorney with Legal Services of Northwest Minnesota, and I represent the respondent, Nicole Albertson, in this matter. As noted, we are here on the appeal of the district court's issuance of the harassment restraining orders against appellants Cynthia and Bruce Albertson, protecting respondent Nicole Albertson, and on behalf of her two minor children, Archer and Charles. As Mr. Busta stated, the issue before the court is whether appellants proved that there was insufficient evidence or that the district court erred when it issued the HROs at the hearing back in August. Our position is that there is ample evidence to support that appellants had harassed both respondent as well as the children, as defined by Minnesota Statute 609-748.
Here's that Mr. Busa has ceded that there is evidence in the record to support the affirmance of the harassment restraining order against against his clients in favor of the mother. So with that said, perhaps you could limit your argument to how this extends to the children.
Yes, Your Honor, certainly. And I would like to start by just pointing out for a second time, Mr. Busa did address this already, but the standard of review here is abuse of discretion. And this court may consider implicit findings of fact as well as explicit findings made by the district court. In Seuss v. Scott, which this court decided in May of 2021, that is what the court said, and it cited Pachovnik versus Pachovnik, which was a Minnesota Court of Appeals case from 2009. So the findings that the district court made in its order issuing the HROs are not do not limit this court to the remainder of what's in the record. As far as the children go, there were repeated incidents of intrusive or unwanted acts that had a substantial adverse effect on both of them. This court has also interpreted the repeated incidents prong of the HRO statute to include conduct that is part of an ongoing incident, but includes more than one harassing act, word, or gesture. That was decided in Davidson versus Webb in 1995. And as Mr. Busa stated in his argument, as well as in his brief, he claims that there was no physical, mental, or emotional harm by appellants against the children and that the record was devoid of any evidence of such, but this is just simply not a true statement. There was plenty of evidence presented at the hearing that showed that appellants engaged in harassment against the children, and the district court did not err when including them in the HRO.
What are those repeated incidents? It seems like it's primarily based on the one incident of the grandparents coming in trying to take the kids.
Yes, Your Honor. So it was one incident, but there were multiple acts within this single incident. And those acts include that both children witnessed appellant Cynthia Albertson push past respondent, who is the children's mother, in the upstairs hallway, which respondent testified scared the children, causing them to cry. Both appellants barged into the children's bedroom, which again, respondent testified scared the children. Appellant Cynthia Albertson grabbed Charles, one of the children who was 4 years old at the time, in front of Archer, the 7-year-old, while appellant Bruce Albertson physically restrained her that he wanted his mom. Appellant Cynthia Albertson rushed down the stairs very quickly while carrying Charles as he protested. Appellant Bruce Albertson hit Charles in the nose when he took respondent's phone from her during a physical altercation at the bottom of the stairs. Appellant Cynthia Albertson removed Archer from the home and placed him in her vehicle against respondent's wishes while they waited for police to arrive. And respondent testified at the hearing that Archer gets scared, cries, and has panic attacks when he sees a red Jeep, which is the type of vehicle that appellant Cynthia Albertson drives and placed him in while they waited for police. And Charles has said to respondent after this incident occurred that he no longer wishes to speak to appellants. Both children have been in therapy since this incident occurred. So there were numerous incidents or numerous acts within this one ongoing incident where the children were both witness to quite traumatic events involving their grandparents and their mother, as well as the subject of those harassing actions.
So that all occurred on one date. Is there anything else that was in the record beyond that one date?
The evidence in the record is limited to this one date, but I would just go back to Davidson versus Webb, which says that the repeated incidents the repeated incidents prong is satisfied if there are multiple acts, words, or gestures that occur within one ongoing incident. And I will note, just to get into this in a little bit more into the weeds, that the statutory language has been modified since Davidson versus Webb was decided back in 1995. The statutory language said repeated intrusive or unwanted acts, words, or gestures. It was modified to repeated incidents of intrusive acts, words, or gestures, but the facts in this case would still be sufficient to support the finding that repeated incidents took place. And this is supported by State versus Boyd, which was a Minnesota Court of Appeals case decided in April of 2021, where this court reaffirmed that committing multiple acts during a single incident met the definition of harassment. And since appellants have conceded that there is sufficient evidence to affirm the harassment restraining orders issued on behalf of Ms. Albertson against appellants, I will not get into that part of my argument. And at this point, I believe I have addressed all of the issues that I would like to address. If the court has any additional questions, I'm happy to answer them. Otherwise, I will yield the remainder of my time.
Here's not. Thank you for your time. And Mr. Busey, you have the last word.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court. What this goes to is the court's actual factual findings issued in the order in comparison to, you know, what was presented at the hearing. Obviously, in this hearing, there's two contested sides as to what occurred and what occurred in the specific order of their occurrence. As the court did, the court made specific findings as to that evidence and whether the harassment definition was met. And the court did so with respect to Nicole Albertson with statements as to what the court believed the evidence presented at the hearing entailed and what it showed. However, what is completely devoid in that order is any findings at all that any of the children were harassed by Mr. Bruce Albertson and Ms. Cynthia Albertson. It made no findings. It did not state at all why the harassment occurred between them, how it occurred, what specifically the Albertsons did to their grandchildren in this incident to suffice harassment. There was nothing there. Simply checked the box of a protection without any findings to support that checkmark. And that is why we believe that the court did abuse its discretion in looking at the facts of this case and then making that decision against Bruce and Cynthia Albertson as to issuing this harassment restraining order to their grandchildren, Archer and Charles Albertson, when all they were there to do was try to help the situation. And that is what was presented at the hearing. And there was no findings at all done by the court based upon that evidence at all that harassment in fact occurred to those children, because it didn't. And that's why we'd ask that this court reverse the harassment restraining order as to the Archer and Charles Albertson against Bruce and Cynthia Albertson. Thank you.
Thank you to both attorneys for appearing today in support of your client's position. Family matters are always difficult. This court will take the matter under advisement and issue a decision within the statutory time period. That does conclude our oral calendar. This court will stand in recess.
Thank you.
Thank you.